I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Psalm 74 for the message this morning. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that. Psalm 74. Now I'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 17. It seems like a lot, but it's not. And my text verse is verse 17. Actually, I'm going to speak on the last phrase of the 17th verse. But let's read what the psalmist says prior to the statement that we're going to look at this morning. In verse 1, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved wood thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driedest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Now I want you to notice in that 17th verse, there is a statement at the end of the verse that I want to preach from this morning when the psalmist said, thou hast made summer and winter. Now we are right now in the midst of the winter season. I don't know about you, but I, for one, am looking forward to summertime getting here again. I've had just about all the cold and snow and wind and ice that I need for 1 year's period, and I'm looking forward to the sun coming out again and things turning green, and I'm looking forward to the summer months that are just ahead. But right now we're in the wintertime, and I want you to notice here that in this 17th verse, the psalmist says that God has made the summer and the winter. I want you to think on this phrase with me this morning. And let's pray together and then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful that we can come into your presence this morning and ask for your blessing to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you will guide and direct and help me this morning as I speak. I want to be able to communicate what's on my heart. And Lord, I need your help in order to do that. I pray that the Spirit of God will meet with us today. And Lord, you know every heart. You know every situation of every person in this room today. And so I pray that today, Lord, you might meet needs in our hearts. Help us to realize that there is indeed a God in heaven, and that God is the creator of the universe, and that God has set the universe in motion. Lord, everything is by design. And I pray that, Lord, we will realize that everything that happens to us is by design. And Lord, we're thankful for the summer, but we also need to be thankful for the winter. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be able to associate the message this morning so that when we leave here today, we have a greater appreciation for the God who has made the summer and the winter. Bless us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The psalmist here makes what seems to us a very obvious statement. He says in this 17th verse, "Thou hast made the summer and the winter." Now, it's obvious to us, but you know, sadly, most of the world believes that the universe is the product of a big bang that happened millions of years ago. And when this big bang took place, it threw everything out into space, and eventually through the millions and millions of years of evolution, we have the world today as we know it. And I've said to you many, many times before that these folks who believe in the Big Bang theory have it all backwards. If you read your Bible, the Big Bang is at the end. It's not at the beginning. All right. So please read your Bible and you'll see that to be true. All right. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the psalmist here believed that with all his heart. And in this little section of verses where he is talking about how Israel had wandered away from God, and God's wrath and judgment was upon them because of that. He says in the 16th verse that the day belonged to God and the night belonged to God and the sun belongs to God. And he said that God has set all the borders of the earth. This world was created by God, established by God. The continents are where they are because God put them there. The oceans are where they are because God put them there. And plainly and simply, the psalmist is giving God credit for the universe. And he makes the statement here that God also gives us the summer and the winter every year. And of course, that is due to the fact that God created all things, established the earth upon to rotate upon its axis around the sun, and thus we get the seasons throughout the course of the year. Now, I doubt that anyone in this room, there may be a few, I doubt it though, but I doubt that anyone in this room would have a problem with giving God credit for making the summertime. There is just something in every summer's glory that shows us God's divine touch. When the grass is green, when the fields are full of grain and vegetables, when the warm breezes are soothing and comforting, and the flowers are all filling the land with their beauty, we have no problem giving God credit for the summer with all of its beauty and all of its glory. But I want you also to notice that the psalmist says that the same God who made the wonderful, abundant summer is also the God who makes the wintertime. Now, a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, we were in Revelation chapter 2 and looking at the church at Pergamos. And as I was preparing that Bible study for that Wednesday night, I read some I went back and was reading about the synagogue of Satan, the seat of Satan, if you remember. And in reading, I learned that the ancient Greeks believed that there were two rival gods. Now, you remember Greek mythology and how everything that is had an explanation behind it as because of some god that they had created and had placed over whatever. All right, so in the study for that message, I learned that there were two rival deities that the Greeks believed controlled and ruled nature. And these two gods were always fighting against one another. And they believed that one god brought the summertime, and he would exasperate himself with creating all the beauty on the earth, and that in all of his effort it would weaken him, and then an evil god, a bad god, would then overpower him and would destroy everything that he had created in the summer and bring about the winter time. But that this one also exasperates himself in the process of destroying all the good that was made by the god of summer, and that soon he would weaken, and then this other one would be strengthened, and he would bring summer again. And that was their explanation for how every year you had a winter time and then you had a summertime. Well, how clearly different is the spiritual discernment of the psalmist? It is the God of Abraham, the God of heaven, who has made the summer. And then the psalmist also says that it is the God of Abraham who has made the winter. Not two different gods, the same God. And so if the same God has given us winter and summer, there must be a reason for it. There must be some purpose behind it. And I think that we can see that from the message here this morning. Think about it, folks. The very hand that made the flowering meadow and filled the trees with leaves and brought the warm sunshine upon the fields and the great harvest of crops is the same one who touches that summer life and causes it to wither and die. Thou hast made the summer and the winter. It is God Almighty who lengthens the days and gives us the extra sunlight and warmth in the summertime. And it is God Almighty who takes that same 24 hours and shortens the day and gives us more darkness that and brings the snow and brings the ice and brings the frost and causes the wintertime. The same God who causes the trees to fill their branches with leaves and causes the leaves then to turn color and to wither and to die. The same God is over all. He's over the winter and the summer. Now, I want you to believe. I want you to understand. I want you to know. I want you to have faith and confidence that the one God of heaven has made the summer and the winter. I don't think in this crowd that I have to convince you of that. I don't think that you would be here this morning if you did not believe that God is the creator of all. I do not think you would be here this morning on this cold winter's Sunday morning. I don't think you'd be here if you did not believe that God was the creator of all things. But instead of preaching from this phrase, on this phrase, from the standpoint of nature, I want to instead use this to launch into having you think in the direction that the one God of heaven has made the summer and the winter of the heart. I want to approach it from the standpoint to get you to see that God Almighty gives us wintertime in our lives, and He gives us summertime in our lives. You see, God allows the good and the bad. God lets the sun shine on us and then lets the storm clouds pour upon us. You see, every one of us has experiences that we go through, and our hearts tingle with the touch of heaven. When we have these experiences, we know that it is the blessed hand of God upon us. When we go through these times in our lives, we know that God's grace is shining upon us, and we're happy knowing that the Lord is being merciful and good to us. But we also go through times that make us think that we're in the cold and that we're in the dark of winter. We go through times where we have our struggles and our trials and our heartache. I jokingly said to one of the young people, he was in his mid-20s this morning, and he said, "Pastor, I understand what you're saying." He said, "I got that." He said, "That's going to help me." And I said, "Yes, it is, because right now you're 20-something and it's summertime and you are having the time of your life. But, dear friend, mark it down, winter is coming." And he just smiled and nodded his head and said, "Yeah, I know what you mean." He said, I'm now watching my own parents as they have to deal with some of the issues that age brings upon you. Well, brethren, listen, plainly and simply put, it is easy to attribute the good things to God. But it is seemingly difficult for us to think that God would allow any of us to face the wintertime of life. But I'm telling you, wintertime is real. And if you have not experienced wintertime in your life yet, mark it down. The day is coming when you will. And what we need to realize is that God is not only gracious and good when the sun is brightly shining in our lives, but He is also good when we're facing the winter. Folks, mark it down. The same God that gives you the sunshine is the same God that allows the darkness and the storms to come upon your life. Please realize that God is God regardless of what's going on in your life. That Christian who can trace God's hand at work in his life when it's winter, who can say, "God still loves me, even though what I'm facing here is dark and terrible," that Christian who can say and can trace God's hand at work when the storms are raging in his life, is the Christian who has won the secret of that abiding peace which the world cannot give and cannot take away. Now, let me give you a Bible illustration, and I think you'll see how I want you to think about the message this morning. Let me illustrate by reminding you of Job. Job in the Old Testament. What a wonderful summertime Job enjoyed in his life. You read the first chapter of Job and you'll see the sun shining brightly upon him in an amazing way. I mean, this man is going through life and God's hand is blessing everything he does. God blesses his family. God blesses his children. God blesses his business. There was nobody, the Bible says, in all the land that enjoyed God's richest and fullest blessings any more than what Job did. Everything he put his hand to, God blessed it and multiplied it. But then he was hit with a blast of winter. Oh, for years, it was summer in Job's life. And then all of a sudden, God took his hand away from him and the devil launched a full-scale attack against him. And all of a sudden, Job's summertime turned into one of the worst winters that that man has ever seen. His sunshine turned into a blinding snowstorm. But now the question is this, not just looking at one incident, but look at Job and his life as a whole, that is, as it is revealed in the Bible. When the storm came, when he had to deal with the winter that came upon his life, what did he say? Well, here's what he said. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Man, that's how you look at life. That's a good outlook. That's a good perspective. You know, I've been in the ministry for a long time now, and I've noticed that through the years, I've noticed an awful lot of people who, as they were going through life, when they were young, the sun was shining upon them. Everything was grand and glorious. But then all of a sudden, it gets wintertime in their life. And when the winter comes, I've noticed an awful lot of people get bitter. They drop out of church. They abandon faith. They walk away from God. And they get angry at God as if it is God's fault that their summer is now over and it's wintertime in their lives. And I've seen an awful lot of people who just walked away from truth and walked away from God when the wintertime came. Job did not do that. Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." His wife, you remember, advised him and said, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just curse God and die?" His three friends came to him and they said to him, "Job, here's an idea. Here's what you need to do. You ought to just go tell God you're sorry for being such a hypocrite. Just go tell God you're sorry. Maybe the sun will come back out again in your life." But Job only trusted in the Lord. He said to his three friends, "No, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You see, when the winter time hit Job, he just had faith that God knew what he was doing and that God was going to get him through it. And brethren, it was his faith in God that got him through the winter time. I think Job understood this thought that I've pulled from this 17th verse in Psalm 74. He understood that God has made the summer and the winter. Now, just a couple of, you understand where I'm going with this? All right, now, just a couple of things I want you to consider here from this text. First, I want you to ask yourself, how does God make the summer? How does God make the summer? Now, folks, realize I'm not talking about literal summer and winter here today. Please, I'm using that as an analogy. Please understand I'm talking about life this morning. Please understand that I'm talking about what a great number of folks in this room are dealing with right here today. How does God make the summer? Well, we all realize that right now we're dealing with the winter. I mean, it's cold outside. There's 8 inches, 10 inches of snow on the ground. And we are getting already news reports of another winter storm coming on Tuesday. I'm so excited, aren't you? We're dealing with a winter, cold and bleak. Deadness, wind, snow, ice, freezing rain, short days, long nights. You know, it just hit me. I like summer a whole lot better than I like winter, don't you? Yes. Amen. But the question I want to ask you is, how does God make summer? How does he do it? Well, plainly, and I think you'll see the simplicity of this. Plainly, the summer is brought out of the winter. Now, you know, if we can just hang on a little bit longer, it's going to be summer before long. Nod your head. You with me on that? Sure it is. I mean, we all understand that this cold and snow and ice will eventually give way to warm temperatures and everything will be turning green and the flowers will bloom and it'll be nice in just a few months. We say in the winter that everything is dead. But it's not. We know it is not. They let me remind you that they said that the daughter of Jairus was dead. But the Lord Jesus came and looked at her and said, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And when the master took her by the hand, she raised up to the shock of everyone around. And brethren, that's basically what God does with the earth. I mean, we look around and see all the leaves gone, and we see the grass brown, and we see just a bleak picture outside. But in just a few months, we're going to see that the earth was not dead after all. It was just sleeping for a while. And life will come out of the ground. You know, it's funny. We speak of the dead of winter, but we never say the dead of summer. We always say the dead of winter. But that's the way we feel when we are enduring the teeth of the wintertime. But what we need to understand, folks, is that God makes the summer and the winter. And we need to understand that the summer always follows the winter. Now, I know that some of us have the feeling that our lives have just become one great big wintertime. It's easy to feel that way, isn't it? You know, for a long time, when you're young, you're carefree. You don't have all this pressure on you. You don't have all these things on you. And when you're young, boy, life is just one big summertime, isn't it? And then, you know, you go to college and you get married and you start a career and, man, life's great. You're having the time of your life. And then all of a sudden, somewhere, and it's, you know, various ages, but somewhere along the line, all of a sudden the storms clouds start to build. And all of a sudden the wind begins to howl. All of a sudden, you know, the joy and the thrill of life and all the excitement of life, it just seems to dissipate. And you wake up one day and wonder where it went. The wintertime comes. And I know that there's a lot of us that have the feeling that our lives have just become one great big wintertime. But hang on, dear friend, because God has shown us year after year after year, and it's always been like this. You go back in the almanac as far as you can go, as far as it's recorded. And what you'll find is that you had the winter and then followed by the summer. And then you had the winter and then it was followed by the summer. And this went on every year. It has not ceased. It happens every year. And you know what? It's going to happen this year. We are all going to be so glad when it happens this year. But now let's apply it to life, folks. Let's look at our lives. And we've got to understand and we've got to realize that summertime is coming. Now, I know that some of you are feeling like, wow, man, I'm in the winter right now. My life is just, dark and it's cold and I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, folks, God gives us an example every year if we'll just look, and you will realize that, wait a minute, the summer will follow the winter. You say, but Pastor, you know, I've been in this winter time for a long time. Yes, I know. It's called growing old. Now, they can talk about the golden years all they want. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. You say, well, Pastor, then what do we have? What hope do we have? Don't forget, folks, winter, summer. And if our lives are lived and we have the winter time, well, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him? Somebody grunt, do something. Do you know the Lord? My friend, listen, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to leave this old winter time we call life, and you are going into an eternal summer with the God of heaven. Yeah, I know it's tough down here. Good grief, we're all experiencing that. Now, all you young people, bless your little hearts. You say, well, I don't have any idea what he's talking about this morning. You will. It's a coming. Mark it down. If you'd have told me 25 years ago that I would spend half my week in doctor's offices, I would have laughed and said, yeah, right. Never went to the doctor in my 20s and 30s. Never. Never. Just go, go, go. You get sick, you just keep going. But boy, things change, don't they? Yeah. Things change. Folks, we have to have the winter before we can have the summer. We have to. I mean, it's just the way things are. It's just the way God has made things. Don't forget, the psalmist here is giving God credit for creation. He is giving God credit for everything that is. He's giving God credit for the seasons and for night and day. God's responsible for all of it. And we just need to understand that we have the winter. We have to have the winter before we can have the summer. Now, we're in the winter right now. And in a couple of months, we will see the trees take on a green hue. And we will notice the grass getting thicker and suddenly appear to just wake up. But what we need to realize and what we need to understand is that there will be no greenness in June without the chill and the frost of December. We need to realize that God needs one if he's going to bring the other. It's like he fashions the glory out of the decay. It's like he covers the field with a blanket of snow so that it might soon become golden with the fullness of the wheat. And this scene we see in nature every year is a reminder for all of us of a greater promise. And that greater promise is that the summer follows the winter. God is responsible for both. God will see us through both. God enables us through both. We just have to learn to trust him. We just have to learn to trust him. You see, folks, here's the point. Get this. Out of the trial, out of the winter that is so hard to bear, God brings the beauty. Right? Now, that's in nature. Think about it so far as our lives are concerned. Out of the trial, out of the difficulties that we face, out of the winter of our lives, God brings out of it the beauty of godly character. That's something to think about, isn't it? I mean, all of us have gone through the winter storm, and when the summer came again, we saw our faith increased and our trust deepened, and we had a renewed love for the promises of God's word. You know, everybody is a good pilot in calm seas. That's right, isn't it? I mean, if it was sunny and warm and bright and wonderful all the time, we wouldn't enjoy the summer near as much. And really, if you think about it, I think you will agree with me that perpetual sunshine probably just makes people selfish. Would me. But character is molded, fashioned, and revealed through the trials that we have to endure in our lives. So, folks, if we never had a winter time in our lives, if nothing ever went wrong, if the sun shone all the time in our lives, we would have nothing that develops our character and molds us into the person God would have us be. Now, there's a second thing I want you to consider. Why has God made the summer and the winter? Why is it like this? Why do we have to deal with this? Now, taking all that I've asked you to consider this morning, let me build on that and just take it one more step and ask, why has God made the summer and the winter? And folks, there's one answer to that question. And here it is. The answer is so God can accomplish His divine purpose. God's purpose is not always clearly seen, but His purpose is always clear. And here it is. Now think about it in relation to nature, and then I'll give it to you, and then we'll transpose it over into life. God's purpose. Why summer and winter? Why summer and winter? Why? So God can accomplish His divine purpose. What is God's divine purpose? God's purpose, it is the purpose of every living thing that after summer should come the harvest. After summer should come to harvest. God has a purpose for everything He has made and set in motion. Winter takes the seed. Listen carefully now. Winter takes the seed and it dies, so it can burst forth in the summer with life. The earth warms, the seed grows, produces fruit, and then it's harvested to sustain life through the next winter. I remember as a child, my grandfather, in the springtime, going around to a neighbor. It was about a half mile walk. Sometimes I went with him, and we went around to a neighbor, and he paid that neighbor $5, and that neighbor gave him 2 Clydesdale horses. And we walked those horses back around and hooked him up to a plow. And my grandfather plowed over an acre so he could put in a garden. I stood off to the side and watched him. And I remember him telling me, "You stay away from these horses. These horses, the man that owns them put sugar cubes in his pocket to give those horses." And he said, "Those horses think that every time they do something, they got to get a reward of a sugar cube." He said, "Don't get near those horses they will bend over and bite the fire out of you." Now, they never did bite me, thank the Lord, because I didn't get near them. I wasn't born last night. I'm not getting near them things. They're huge, huge. But I remember my grandfather plowing that garden. And then I would take a metal pole, and I would walk out in front of him, and I would poke holes in the ground, and he would crawl along on his knees and drop seed down in there. Then my brother would come along behind and take the dirt and fill them over. And that's how we planted a garden. Over an acre. Took several weeks to get the garden out. And we'd stand back and watch as the rains came. We'd stand back and watch as the vines began to grow or the plants began to grow. And then we would go, and he had 3 hoes, and he would hand that a hoe to my brother and a hoe to me, and we'd go out there and hoe in that garden and get the weeds out and keep the dirt turned over. But boy, we sure did enjoy what came out of that garden. By the bushel basket, we would haul stuff. And my mom standing at the kitchen table with pots going on everything that you could get water to boil on, and canning the food that came out of that garden. Now, why did we do that? We did it because I'm thinking back on, I don't ever remember going to a grocery store when I was a child. Can y'all think back that far? Do you remember going to the grocery store when you were little? You very seldom ever went. I mean, we made bread every day. We bought milk from the guy just down the road who had a farm, and we'd go down and buy a gallon of milk off of him for nothing. And, you know, we just didn't go to the store. When we got time to eat, what we did is we went down into the cellar and we got a jar off of the shelf. And we got the Silver Queen corn down, and we got the Half Runner green beans down. And we went over to the potato bin where we had dug those potatoes. I hated that job. And we would get the potatoes out of the bin. And then he would reach over in another bin and grab a big white onion. Oh, yeah, I remember all that. And then we sat down when it's a foot of snow outside and it's freezing cold and eat those vegetables that we had worked so hard to grow during the summertime. I remember all that just like it was yesterday. And through the cold winter, we ate from the harvest of the summertime garden. And brethren, we've lost this in our world today because today we can just go to the store. Our winters can be faced with confidence if we have a good harvest in the summertime. That's the point. Now, you're in the summertime right now. Thank God for it. Everything's grand and glorious in your life right now. Praise the Lord for that. But dear friend, the day is coming when the wintertime's going to be here. Now, my question is, what are you going to use to sustain you when the wintertime comes? The point is, when it's summertime, you better be planting some good seed in the ground. You better be, when things are going well, serving the Lord, reading your Bible, faithful to God, have a walk with God, because mark it down, dear friend, the day is coming when winter is going to be upon you. And if you have not sown in the summertime, you're going to starve in the wintertime. Makes sense, doesn't it? Brethren, this is what God is doing in us as we go through life. I know nobody wants to go through trial and tribulation and heartache. I understand all that. But hey, we're sinners. And that's what happens. The wages of sin is death. We're all headed down that road. We're all going that direction. Now, when you get to wintertime, you better have sown some good seed in the summer, because God gives the summer and the winter. The summer is for growth and harvest. The winter is endured through what we grew when the sun was shining and all was right with the world. Folks, that's why right now you're young, you're healthy, you're able, you're fit. Hey, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I mean, do something for God. Don't just go through the motions and, you know, show up every now and then when it's convenient. No, get in there and do something for God. Get in your Bible, read it, learn it, love it, study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Make the Word of God a part of your life. Because, boy, you're going to get over here in the wintertime and you're going to be thankful for the seed that you've sown in your heart. May God help us, folks, to realize that God makes the summer and the winter. I know that a lot of us are not just in winter, but we're living in the wintertime so far as physical problems go. Financial problems, family problems. We need to realize that this is what life is all about. You're going to have summer and you're going to have winter. Please understand that we're not here simply to be happy. We are here to serve and to be a blessing. Thou hast made the summer and the winter. And one of these days, we are, if we know Christ as Savior, eventually going to go and enjoy the joy of our harvest. That day's coming. That day's coming. I was talking to a fella out in California last week, and he was in the church. He was an old man then. The last time I preached out there, which was in 2002. And he was an old man then. And now he's well up in years and very limited as to what he can do. And with a smile on his face, he looked at me and said, "Wow, you've lost a lot of weight, preacher." And I said, yeah, I've been a little puny lately. And he laughed a little bit. And I said to him, I said, how are you doing? And he said, well, he said, you know, I'm just feeding on God's word. And I said, really? He said, yep. He said, you know, it's amazing. All those years I served, all those years I worked, all those years I gave every effort to help our pastor here. And he said, now, you know, in the wintertime, I said, yeah, I can see that. But he said, praise the Lord, God is good. And I'm going to be with the Lord soon. He said, I know that. And I'm perfectly okay with it. Amen. That's life. That's life. You got summer and you got winter. And when the winter comes, you sustain yourself through what was harvested in the summer. May God give us strength, folks, while we've got it, to walk with Him.